When
Why
he
can't
hits
I hear
music.
My? Oh, there I am. Huh. Well, that explains that.
Well, at least y'all honest.
That's
but
true.
I've learned being funny don't get you nowhere in this business either.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be sexy with your stomach hanging out with 20-year-old titties. So I figured I'm never gonna make it. I lost my 20-year-old titties in the 7th grade.
Or it depends on who you know, maybe.
Yeah, I
that might
I'm
be helpful.
Never gonna make it.
Itty bitty titty committee.
Why do you think that's so fun?
I do. I just
you
think
never
it's
heard
funny.
Of that?
No, no.
No, we heard. Do you know Tim Cavanaugh?
No, but I've heard of itty titty.
Yeah,
when he says
an older white gentleman, and when he says it, it's just, it's 10 times more funny.
It's pretty funny.
Itty titty, we grew up with that. That's mm-hmm. one of the reasons, I tell you on your podcast, that's okay. one of the reasons what we do in the ghetto to get titties.
You do?
Because see, white girls get titties for graduation gifts. You don't get it in the ghetto.
Oh, yeah.
From high school they get titties?
When they graduate, they get a new set of titties. Yeah.
From high school?
Very
most
common.
White girls.
Yeah, very
that's
common.
What they get for graduation gift. You know what we get?
It's not college, but high school.
You can't say most white girls. That's not true.
That's like that would be like me saying
very,
most.
It's very, very common now.
It's very, not, very common.
You guys are crazy.
Yeah, we're like,
oh,
go.
Yeah, you crazy. In the white community, you get titties for your graduation.
I live
year.
In the white
in the
community.
Ghetto, you have to put butter on your chest starting from the 5th grade and hope that the butter make your titty grow. And
really?
People say, does it work? Look at me. I'm rocking a 44 double D.
And you did that?
I did that.
Is this
forever.
Podcast over
you
yet?
Put, your, put butter on your titties.
I didn't have any titties. I put butter on my chest. And my friend in the neighborhood, they was like, oh, if you want titties and booties, all you got to do is put titties, I mean, your mama butter. And, you know, it was government butter, so I don't know what the fuck is in that. Government butter, for some reason, make you.
Hi, I'm Chick McGee, and we're off the air.
Let's
yeah.
do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it worked.
Now, mama, what's up? I know that you're a schemer, but you can't be fine.
Hi, thanks for downloading the podcast. Another edition of the Off the Air podcast. Hi, I'm Chick. That is Jeff. Hi, Jeff.
Hey,
Jason.
Hey, Chick.
And as you've read, as you download this, thanks for downloading it. And as you heard, our guest this time, it's Miss Pat.
Hey, everybody. Can you hear me? I know I got a deep voice. You can't miss me.
You don't have that deep a voice, do you? Or is that
a try land on top of me?
will that make it? That'll make it deeper. Is that right?
It's like being in the bed with Tom.
Oh my gosh, Miss Pat. So, what's been going on? How you been doing?
I've been fine, snowed in, a little frustrated. I got it. Can I vent for a second?
Sure, I wish
I got a dumbass son. Mm-hmm. I don't know if y'all have grown kids.
Oh, I saw your tweet, something about him and the tires or something.
Yeah, he went out and bought an Xbox Live card instead of purchasing a spare tie for his car, which the car has been jacked up for 2 weeks in a parking lot and it needs a tie. So I asked his girlfriend, why do you have sex with this dummy? So I'm talking to my daughter on the phone who got a college degree, and I was like, he is the stupidest fucker I know. And she started laughing. She was like, I was like, why are you laughing? She was like, mama, stupid is not a word. I said, it is today, goddammit. Your brother is the stupidest person I know. Stupidest. So I couldn't spell stupidest. So I said, I want to tweet this. Spell the word stupidest for me.
If it was a word, how would you spell it?
Well, she spelled it for me because she got a college degree and I tweeted it.
Oh, where did she go?
She went to Albany.
Oh, okay.
She didn't graduate.
Oh, no?
No, she got in there and started licking shit she shouldn't have been licking on, and I had to bring her home.
Oh, are
she
we
gay.
Are we talking about lesbians or acid?
No, acid.
Well, you put, no, you put acid
on
your
tongue. Yeah, you
I didn't know if it was drugs.
I got it. I got a new daughter-in-law. She looked just like Elvis Presley.
No.
I swear. Go to my Twitter. She's cute as fuck. And every time I see her, I'll be like, you ain't nothing but a hound dog. And she have no fucking clue what I'm talking about.
So
this?
Your daughter is in a lesbian interracial relationship.
Yes. And it's kind of
awesome.
Interesting. Because her girlfriend is kind of like a Elvis, but then a little Justin Bieber's, if you can get the two.
Oh, she has that pompadour thing.
Yeah,
the big hair.
The big hair. And
I'm still trying to get my head around, okay, so she's licking the wrong thing. Why did she have to leave school because of that?
I ain't going to pay for your college for you to eat pussy.
Well,
you got to eat pussy on your own dime.
So it distracted her from her studies.
Yes.
I can't criticize her for that. That's all right.
She loves whatever she's getting out of it. She lost her back teeth behind it, but, you know, she's happy.
Why'd she lose her teeth?
She lost her back.
She lost her teeth because I told her you can't just be eating Medicaid vagina. You got to eat Blue Cross Blue Shield vagina. They get to go to the doctor more often.
Man.
You never ate a Medicaid vagina?
Mm-mm. Not that he's aware of.
They taste like battery acid, I heard.
Aware of. Oh, so this is...
Right. Gotcha.
Not as expensive.
You know what's crazy? It's always how shocked he is when I say shit. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not shocked. It's just I'm trying to be... I'm trying to be worldly. I'm trying to understand.
Okay. You're trying to understand this black shit I'm talking about. Okay. I get you.
No, it's not necessarily black. It's just... the Medicaid and Blue Cross Blue Shield, that would indicate someone Medicaid.
Healthcare,
there's a lot of companies that will cover you if you are in a domestic partnership with the same sex. But if you are in a domestic partnership with someone of the opposite sex,
they won't cover you.
So is that like...
They're protecting
the
woman.
Is that like reverse racism? Is that similar to racism?
Well, at least reverse discrimination, I would think.
I don't know what the fuck y'all talking about. I sleep with a man. I got health care. What are we talking about?
You have health care?
Fuck yeah, I got health care.
Okay, sorry.
I only sleep with people with health care. Is you crazy? I'm too old to be messing with somebody without health care, chick.
I haven't had health care in 5 years.
You don't have health care?
We tried to get her
a couple times.
Yeah.
You waiting on Obamacare?
I guess that's my option now.
You could always marry a rich person.
You're right. I could have.
Isn't Tom single?
No. Oh, no. No.
No to Tom or no, he's not single?
No to both.
Oh. I'm trying to help you out here.
To both, yeah.
So what's your household? It's you and your husband.
It's me and my husband and I have two kids.
Two kids, a son and a daughter.
Mm-hmm. And I just moved in my niece with her four kids.
Is that who's in the green room?
Mm-hmm.
Your niece and four other children?
Yeah, nine kids. Nine people.
Nine people in your house?
Yeah.
I feel you. My house is similar. I always have people that are not.
My house is not used to that. Totally not used to that shit. It's horrible.
Yeah.
Everything went up. The grocery bill, the lights, the gas, everything. It's horrible.
Mm-hmm. And you're doing it all by yourself, I assume.
No, I got a husband. What's wrong with you?
No, I didn't know
I'm
if you were paying your bills.
Parent.
No. I mean,
I didn't pay no bills.
No, I assumed you were the breadwinner.
No, why?
Because
we have a good job.
Because you got a good job.
She don't know me, do she?
No.
No. Well, why don't you tell her? What does your husband do?
He works at Allison Transmission.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
He changes the oil in all the engines. Isn't that what he does? I don't know.
No, he builds the engine.
Of course,
what are you talking about?
That's an amazing job.
Yeah,
it's a good job. It's not bad. Not bad at all.
And he's the one with healthcare, right?
Yeah, he's the one with healthcare.
Oh, mm-hmm. There you go. I thought you provided.
No,
your own.
I've been married 22 years this year.
Oh wow,
in
good
May,
for you.
22 years.
That's good.
Yeah. And when did you get married? How?
May.
In May. You're not going to answer what year you got married or how old you were when you got married.
I was 19, I think.
Well, that's not bad.
I think 19, because he's 21. Fine. Yeah, 19.
From what I know about you, you have a varied and interesting life. You were a drug dealer. You got shot in the breast.
I got shot two times.
Two times.
And hit by a dump truck.
Don't know the dump truck story.
How did I miss the dump truck story?
Do you know the dump truck story?
I don't recall the dump truck story.
Oh, well, I've been shot two times. I always say I've been shot two times and hit by a dump truck. Nobody cares who shot me. They're like, who hit you with a dump truck?
Yeah,
my kid's father hit me with a dump truck.
Oh.
The man you're married to right now?
No. I saw my kid's father cheating one day. This is a story.
Okay.
And I was walking across the overpass, true story, and I look over the overpass, and he has a woman in his truck. So my stupid self jump off the fucking overpass onto his truck. And that's how I got hit.
Mm.
Ms. Pat, were
but you?
You
know what? Women will do some crazy things.
No,
you,
I used to be a gangster when I was 22.
Were you upset?
I was very fucking upset.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
So there wasn't a physical altercation with anyone in the truck because you got hit by a dump truck. So that you were kind of out of it. But your goal was to jump over and start a fight with whoever.
Well, yeah, it was to jump over and say, hey, I see you with this bitch. Mm-hmm. But he took off and so.
Oh, he saw you jump and
he didn't see me. Jump, but he saw me in the air.
He saw you falling.
Yeah.
And then as soon as he sees you get hit by the dump truck.
He was in the truck.
He hit you with the dump truck.
Yeah, I say he hit me with the dump truck. I hit the dump truck and hit the ground, and he pulled out because I was like,
oh, my gosh. But you know what? It doesn't sound that crazy when you say that you saw him with someone else. Because
I always
women,
caught him with other people.
Women will do crazy things.
What's your craziest story?
I don't know if I should share. Why not? I'm divorced now. No.
Why shouldn't you share?
Well,
we've been open. I'm the only person.
She was in high school. She almost ran over a kid.
Yeah, but that wasn't nothing to do
jealous
with a girl.
Thing, yeah.
That had nothing to do with a girl.
You almost hit him?
I punched somebody in the forehead once for talking to another girl. But he did the lean in and whispered into her ear, and it was in public. It was in front of people, so I felt embarrassed and I was pissed off. And he was sitting, so he was at eye level. So I just punched him square in the forehead.
Oh, well, she need to hang out with me so I can show her how to do some gangster shit. I tell you, once I caught my kid's father cheating, and I don't know.
I call him cheating all the time.
At least 200 times. So
200 times, Miss Pat?
Yes. Okay. That's what good dick do to you.
Yeah, that's what they tell me, Jason.
Oh,
it's something about it's that true. Good unemployed dick that runs your face. I tell people when Whitney Houston was in her relationship, I know why she wouldn't let Bobby go. Unemployed men put it down. Men's with job, y'all just do it okay. But unemployed brothers, they beat that thing up. Lose your job, your sex life will improve.
No kidding. All right. I'll keep that.
Nobody's laughing but you, so you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
They over there looking with their mouth hung on, like, all this time I thought I was doing it. No, lose your fucking job. Sex gets better.
Sex gets better when you're unemployed.
Yeah, so I go over his house one day, and he has this little window, and I peek through the window, and he has a girl in there. Now, mind you, I'm rocking 300. Back then, I was about 180. I see him in the house with this bitch, so I decide I'm going to jump through this little bitty window.
Instead of pounding on the door,
you're going
in. Yeah,
because he wouldn't let me in.
Oh,
so
sure. Okay.
I go through the window, and my shoulders get stuck, and all is in the window is my head. I say, I'm going to kill you, motherfucker, as soon as I get up.
Well, did you ever get into a fist fight with any of these ladies?
Baby mama,
the ladies?
Oh, okay. Oh, my God. He had like 20-something children. Mm-hmm. And he was just no fucking good. Remember I told you? I don't know if I told you. He was married, too. Mm. So I'm the one that supposedly took him from his wife.
Right.
So I'm the one he was supposed to stay with, at least I thought. So that's why I shot him, too. I shot him in the leg, mm-hmm. and it broke his whole ankle.
I didn't know this story. Didn't know this story either.
I know I can't say it on the air, but I go to pick him up, and it's another bitch there to pick him up.
No.
I'm like, I shot you so I can take care of you. So he didn't want to get in the car with me, so I backed up my car and went forward and hit his cast and broke his cast in front of the hospital. So they had to come wheeling back in the hospital.
Oh, my gosh.
This is the picture I want on this podcast episode. My face doing this.
I'm serious. I used to be so fucking crazy. One time I went over and one of his baby mama was over his house. He was living in a rooming house. And I got so mad because he had her over there and not me. I decided I'm going to drive through the rooming house. I drove my car clean through the bottom of them people's house. I pulled out the whole front end of the house and fell down. So he's chasing me, holding on the side of my car, trying to hit me. I'm going at Martin Luther King in Atlanta, just dragging the shit out of him.
Oh.
We used to be crazy.
Well, now, wait a minute. You, as I understand it, it's not used to be. Do you think you have an anger problem?
No, I don't take no bullshit.
I like that.
Yeah, I'm older now, so it takes a lot.
You're wiser. Yeah.
I'm wiser, yeah.
Yes.
But 20 years ago, I wouldn't even argue with you. I would just knock the shit out of you.
There's nothing more crazy than a 20-year-old woman.
a 20-year-old battered woman. Do you woman who been through some shit is like buying old clothes at the Goodwill? You got to fix that shit before you put it on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I used to be really, really crazy. I went home to see my family this week, and my cousin reminded me. She was like, Pat, they call me Rabbit. She was like, Rabbit, you remember you used to sell crack barefooted in the wintertime? I was like, fuck yeah. I always sold crack barefooted because I don't like shoes. I
just don't like shoes.
I didn't like shoes, but if I go outside barefooted now, it will fucking kill me. My vagina would freeze up. I would die. I would die.
So barefoot in the wintertime.
In the wintertime.
Not in Atlanta, but in...
In Atlanta.
Well.
I was in Atlanta, of course.
Yeah, different.
And I started laughing because, you know, I don't know if y'all know, I just broke my toe in Walmart. So I dropped a can of peaches and it broke my big toe.
Hold it. Time out. When did this happen?
This happened about 3 weeks ago.
You're in Walmart. You're getting canned peaches. You drop a canned peach on your toe.
And... that is, I'd rather be shot than drop a can of peaches on my big toe.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you, the pain went straight from my toe to my vagina, and I peed on myself inside of Walmart.
No.
Maybe we'll use this face, too, for the podcast photos.
My husband said, why didn't you
was
fall?
Was he there?
No, he was like, why didn't you fall? You could have sued. I was like, because I had peed on myself. It's the fucking peach juice.
That's bad.
So I'm in Walmart in Plainfield, and I'm like, And all the white women grabbing their pocketbook. I'm like, bitch, I'm not trying to rob you. I'm trying to hold his piss.
Now, let me get this straight. Your husband wanted you to sue Walmart because you dropped a thing of peaches on your
Yeah, throat. He said, why didn't I fall out?
He could have fell.
I could have fell and said I slipped.
Oh,
but
okay.
I had peed on myself. So mm-hmm. I couldn't because by that time I was smelling like piss. So I had to I'm sorry. These stories too.
No, I just
love all of them. So
I'm just.
I love
just,
all of them.
When
you
were
younger, did you fear anything?
No.
I mean, completely fearless.
I was fearless.
So, were you surrounded? Was that your environment growing up? Like everyone was not everyone.
Every man for himself.
Conflict resolution. It was like let's go, bitch, or whatever. I mean, would that be what it would? That sounded weird when I said that.
Is
that
let's go, bitch.
Is that how you guys solve problems when you had an argument?
It was, no. Ooh, me and my kid's father?
No, but because
just growing up.
There's a state law. I can't comment on anyone's relationships or anything like that, but I don't think I've ever solved any sort of resolution or a fight or an altercation.
With a physical altercation.
Oh, I thought you meant ever.
Ever?
No, I'm joking.
No, you've never done that?
I got in a fist fight when in the fifth grade with David.
That's it.
But that's about it.
But I think
it.
that comes where you
I
said,
shoved a guy at a Christmas party.
I think
party.
It was all about where I'm from. It's all about survival. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I had two kids at 15 by a married man. So, and I tell people all the time, it's something about when you get pregnant young, I don't give a fuck how old you are. Mm-hmm. Your motherly instinct kick in.
Yes.
I say this all the time. When you know, it was only two things I could do in my community. Either be a prostitute or either sell pussy or sell dope. So I did. Wasn't no money in prostitution. Crack was out. They was fucking getting blowjobs for $5. I'm not gonna suck a dick for $5.
That's what one of my favorite lines from Drew Hastings, the comedian, said. You can thank the drug war and drugs in America
for
bringing the price of blowjobs down to $5.
So I'm not gonna suck a dick for $5. So I decided I'd sell crack, you know. And then plus, I don't look good without makeup, and everybody in my neighborhood was turning into fucking zombies. So I was like, nah, I don't want to be no crack addict, you know. So I decided to sell dope.
So you never, did you ever use?
Never did drugs. You know why I never did drugs? Because I think it's my mama smoked weed, because I didn't know anything about like cocaine, anything like that when I was young. But she did everything like a lesbian. And like a dude, like she smoked her cigarettes like a dude. She drunk out a quart bottle.
Masculine.
Everything she ever did, I said I wouldn't do, except curse. I curse.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. So other than that, drugs and all of that, I never used that shit. I was like, because I always thought these people kidnapped me. I was like, can't nobody be born into this bullshit. These people had to stole me from the hospital. I know Oprah is my real mama. Ain't nowhere in the fuck I was born into this.
Do you know what I'm going to say to her now?
No.
I always felt like in my family, I had been kidnapped because my dad reminds me of your mom. I mean, he sold drugs. He did drugs. He
really?
Yeah. He was. He passed away at 43 from a cocaine overdose. I mean, he had what I had, but I got it fixed. he had a blockage, like a big a couple of arteries in his heart were blocked.
I think that when she said something about, she's like, this is the mentality of a battered woman. That's what you said.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that hit home with Chick. Chick was also abused as a child. And
that's one thing I really haven't ever said to anyone out loud in a public way. I've told her this, but my mom, it wasn't her. It would be very physical all the time with me ever since I could.
Yeah.
Well, until I got to be a freshman in high school. So then I was a lot bigger than her.
My mama did a lot of whooping, but I think it was more like not protecting us. I'm getting pregnant by a married man at 15 and this dude 21 years old. You know, like I'm working on a one-woman show with the director out in L.A. now, and I had to pull all of this stuff. And you really don't, when you've been through a lot in your life, a lot of time you can, for me, I compress shit because most of my family member got on drugs to deal with shit in a different way.
Right.
So I just push shit to the back of my head, and I had to pull out all of this stuff, and I'm looking through my kid's birth certificate, which I don't ever look at my kid's birth certificate. I'm fucking 14 and this dude is 21. I'm like, holy fuck, you try that today, you'll be up under jail.
Yeah.
And I keep telling my kid's father, you know, he like to tell everybody, oh, I'm Miss Pat baby daddy. So I was like, if you keep fucking slandering my name, child molestation, the statutory never go away, I'm gonna fucking have you locked up for fucking me at 14.
That's true.
You can like have a, you know, people go back and get priests all the time, so I can still have him arrested.
Oh yeah,
for fucking me at 14. Now I enjoyed it was good.
It was consensual, but that doesn't make it legal.
I'd never seen a dick in my life.
I thought murder was the only thing that was that never went away, but I guess now that you say priests.
Why do you think people
that
look at the
thing.
Penn State thing?
Yeah
you can get a child molestation, and that's child molestation.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Oh, Miss Pat.
But, I mean, it helped me out because I can get earned income credit for the kids when I was younger after I got my first kid at my first job. You know what that is.
Yes, yeah.
Chick, you don't know the fuck earned income credit.
Earned income credit. I've heard the term, but I've never... I'm not
it
sure
amazes
it
me people that don't know what you pay into this shit every only people with money say this it's
because they pay so much out they don't ever get anything back.
Yeah, yeah. It's for people who don't make shit who get big tax return. You know, it's January, everybody gonna be bald.
No, ethically Chick's no. very liberal, but when it comes to taxes, a Republican.
I'm a Republican right down to my socks. Everything else is social programs and I'm Democratic, but taxes I'm Republican.
Yeah. Me too. I say the same thing.
So, but I always say I got to a point in my life where I said, you know, I didn't forgive my mom for a long time, and then I started to blame my dad, and then on and on. But then I thought, you know, it's because of who I am that all that stuff happened to me made me who I am today.
Right. And See, you know, I knew I like you for some reason. You know, we connected at the chest.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, you can be mad for so long, and then it's like, you know, there's
take
nobody
it, turn
to be,
it into something.
Turn
make
it into, and I did, and I was doing it, and I wasn't even aware of it. And so you obviously did the same thing and turned it into comedy. And
A lot of the stuff, like I was telling a friend, he was like, how did you become a comedian? It was the trips to the welfare office talking to this caseworker. So I thought if I told her how fucked up my life was, and what I thought was fucked up, it was a black caseworker. This is what's so crazy. And I tell these ladies these stories, and this lady just busts out laughing. So I'm like, what the fuck is you laughing at? You know, I'm thinking I'm going to get more food stamps and more welfare if I make her feel sorry for me. And she fucking laughed so hard. And I'm sitting there like, what's funny? Because I thought everybody went through this bullshit. And she was like, you missing your calling. And I'm like, what? She was like, you should be a comedian. I'm like, bitch, I didn't come here for a job. I came here to get recertified.
It's true. I've talked to, not trying to be funny, I've probably seen over my lifetime maybe 10 psychiatrists and psychologists and things like that. And I, you know, they first meeting is, tell me a little bit about yourself and your childhood. And I go through the stories of the pool cues and the curtain rods and the ashtrays. And it's really, I'm so used to telling the story that, and when they have this look on their face, like, I guess I'm looking at you when you tell me your stories, it really doesn't seem like it's, you know, it seems
it's real.
Really
people don't
normal.
People like, well, you know what? People, some people,
to me,
they
it's
read
normal.
About it.
Right,
like some
right.
people read about it. They don't physically live in it. It's like, and a lot of times I get people like, holy fuck, this shit is really real. Mm-hmm. You know?
It really happens.
Like I was talking to my manager and I was telling him, like, I talk about being on welfare and getting off welfare. And I'm as I would say I'm his only black client that can really play both ways.
Right.
And he didn't even want me at first. He was like, how do you get these people, the white people, to laugh at this bullshit? I said, because you know what? When you peel the color of our skin back, we all go through the same fucking shit. We all human. Mm-hmm. You know, some of us come from better household than others. But to boil it all down, if you didn't go through it, 9 times out of 10, you know somebody who been through it. You might have didn't go through what me and Chick went through, but you know us, so you know somebody. Mm-hmm. That's why a person like her who didn't go through the shit can still laugh at it when I'm telling it as a story.
Well, she went through some stuff.
I mean, we all go through exactly. Shit. Nobody yeah, come yeah. here but Jesus yeah. Christ. Who don't? I mean, even he went through shit.
Yeah.
They
he
say.
Had his, yeah.
But that's the great part about comedy. People appreciate it. You know, right. Like, I tell you a story. My cousin just, I said, I got to put this on stage. My cousin called me. She's so fucking funny. Her name is Boo. Like, I don't know my family real name. And I'm serious.
We all got that way too.
We all got nicknames. And I have to ask my cousin, what the fuck is your real name? Mm-hmm. Because I've been with this girl all my life and I don't fucking know her real name and I don't know none of them. And I think we were trained like that because my grandfather had a bootleg house. So if the police pull up and ask for somebody about a real name, we're like, he don't live here. We don't fucking know who you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. So, plausible deniability, Jason. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah.
So my cousin Boo called me the other day. My cousin Fat Man can't read, right?
Okay.
Most of them can't.
All right.
I'm saying he can't fucking read. So he used to be gay. True story. He used to be gay. He turned back straight because he got HIV. Why he decided to turn back straight after he get HIV, I don't know. So his girlfriend get him this jacket for Christmas, and he walk into my cousin's shop, Boo, that's his sister. She was like, Fat Man, why the back of your jacket say punk? And he's like, my fucking jacket don't say punk. I ain't gay no more. And so she said, turn around. And then his jacket, true story, said Punk Association. So his girlfriend walk in the shop and he's like, how the fuck you buy me this gay ass jacket? And his girlfriend's like, she was like, what are you talking about, Fat Man? He's like, this fucking jacket say punk. Neither one of them could read. She was like, well, what's a punk? And he was like, where the fuck you get this jacket from? He said, I got the jacket from the church. I swear my hand to God, that's a true story. The church gave it to her and she wrapped it up and gave it to him as a gift. But he used to be gay and the back of the jacket said Punk Association. Y'all don't have to take that part out, do you?
No, we don't. No, we don't. Not. But I think
that's a funny fucking story to me.
Something else.
So I have a question. So punk is a slang term for gay.
Used to be.
Used to be.
In the 70s, wasn't it?
Okay.
Yeah, I would say.
Is that
true? Maybe.
70s or 80s.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Totally.
I love these stories. I'll tell another one. So my brother called me. I have a brother named Anthony and one named Tony. I don't know if I ever told y'all this.
Okay, this is where I heard this story on the air the other day. I have an uncle named Anthony. He has a son named Tony, and he has a daughter named Tony. One with a Y and one with a Y.
Your grandfather.
And my grandfather is Harry and his brother is Harold.
Wow. See, it
and I didn't
to
know, but I didn't know that it was a big deal. Like that's how I grew up. I had no idea. It wasn't until Chick said, "What? They have the same name." And I was like, "No, they don't."
My husband said the same thing, and my husband, this was just last year. I was like, "I'm serious." And I'm 40 some years old. I'm talking to my husband, and I was like, "Tony, get on my fucking nerve." And Aunt Sandy, he's like, "Pat, why do your brothers have the same name?" I was like, "They don't have the same name." He's like, "Pat, Anthony and Tony's the same fucking name." So, my brother Tony called my brother Anthony up about a week ago. And he said, man, let me borrow your pistol. I ain't got my rooming house rent. I need to go rob me a motherfucker. So my brother's stupid. He said, dude, why would you call me and say that shit? You know Obama is listening to this phone call.
Of course he is.
Oh my gosh.
So I said, what? He said, he gonna ask me that shit. And he know Obama listen to everybody phone call. He said, the first thing I act like I didn't know is that. He was like, I'm sorry, sir, you called the wrong person. I am a mechanic. All I can give you is a screwdriver. I fucking fell in the flow of cream.
So wait a minute. Did he actually, any of your, I mean, you don't have to say which ones. Well, maybe
they don't listen to this shit.
All.
They don't got no. They got prepaid phone. They can't get this.
Is anyone you relate? Anyone you related to still breaking the law?
Yeah, everybody. What are you talking about?
Really?
That's all they do is break the damn law.
I saw a stat today. It was on Twitter, so take it for. It was on Twitter, but it said, but it was on that Uber Facts or Fascinating Information, whatever. One out of 28 people. Have a mother or a father who's in a federal or state penitentiary.
One out of 28?
One out of 28.
What race?
Well, it didn't say that. It was not very specific.
That's very much true. My sister's in jail right now.
Your sister is in jail right now?
Yeah, my niece. I raised my niece because I had them for 10 years. And my sister's in jail because, you know, the one who bought my cousin, the lady who bought my cousin the Punk Association jacket, yes. Got it from the church.
Right.
I guess her and my sister was getting high. And so my sister decided she had one too many pull out the crack pipe. So my sister jumped in the car and hit the crackhead. And the reason why they put her in prison because she backed up and re-hit her.
Oh, so
they gave my sister 5 years.
It was aggravated assault. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
So how long is she in?
They say 5 years.
Oh, have either one of your parents ever been to jail?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
Not that you're aware of.
I don't know if my parents.
Not
have been
that
in
they
jail.
Ever told me about. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I know.
A lot of people keep shit. For
I know that. I know that one or both.
When I was, I'm going to say, 14, 15. A sheriff knocked on the door with a bad check from my dad.
Really?
And he made up a story that I totally believed at the time. But then I started thinking back. It's like, mm-hmm. Well, there's no. Mm-hmm. That's okay. He must have been lying to me. Yeah.
Some people hide shit from their kids. Once I got out of that lifestyle, I was always honest.
That's
even
good.
When I sold drugs and my kids was on the corner with me on a daily basis, I would give the crackhead the rock and say, tell my kids, don't ever do this. This is horrible. But we got to eat. Because, you know, a lot of my drug dealing went on in front of my daughter's school.
Oh my God!
Why?
Well, that's where the clients were, right?
Well, no, because I was a drug dealer before my daughter started that school, and that was my block.
Okay.
So when my daughter started that school, I think this principal hated me because he would always line her classroom on the side that I sold drugs, so she could look out the window in the summertime and see me selling drugs. And I was so fucking ignorant. I was only like 16. I'd be waving at my daughter, "Hey, baby, mama coming to eat lunch with you." So my daughter is a very smart girl. So one day she tells me, I pick her up from school and she was like, mama, she's like, I want to transfer. And I was like, why? She was like, because I get tired of looking out my window seeing you sell drugs in front of my school. I was like, oh, fuck you. I was here first.
Well, that's true, I believe.
I was like, this is my only job. Who the fuck are you talking about? I dropped out of high school to keep you. You got to go. So I transferred her.
That was your corner, I believe.
People think that's
a
horrible story, but I think that's fucking hilarious to me.
I get it.
Well, what do we say? You have to either laugh at it or...
You either laugh or cry. Mm-hmm. I tell another. My husband, when I got pregnant, I had 2 kids when I met him. So I got pregnant. I got cussed at my sister 4 kids. So we had 6 kids right out the bat. Then I wanted to have a baby because technically my husband was getting tired of raising all these fucking kids that wasn't his. So I figured if I have a baby, I'll lock him in there.
Uh-huh.
So I was so fucked up from my other relationship and the other stuff, like an abortion I had to go get my shit fixed. So I got my shit fixed and I had a baby. Come to find out, my cervix was weak. So I had to have something called a surclage. That's when they take a piece of sheet and tie your uterus together.
I always believed in surclause. Christmas
it's different
he comes.
Than Santa Claus.
Oh, never mind. Yeah.
No, it's a surclause, not Santa Claus. What are you talking about?
You were talking fast.
So, all right, let me slow down. So they didn't know my cervix was weak. So I get pregnant and I lose the baby. And I'm so fucking ghetto at the time. So ghetto that my husband busts out crying. I'm like 5 months pregnant. I'm looking at him like, you know, where I'm from, people don't cry over baby. You just... What the fuck is you crying for? I look at my husband. I said, what the fuck is you crying for? He's like, oh, my old baby gonna die. I was like, bitch, we can do this again tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Is this really happening? Mm-hmm. Are we here recording a podcast?
Okay. Tell me these stories.
You know, I knew
crazy.
It was going to be interesting and different, and I'm right.
Yeah. These are the stories that they won't let me put on stage, but I'm going to put in my one woman show.
Put them in here. Do it.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be stories that people, like, a lot of time my manager's like, Miss Pat, that ain't funny. I said, this shit is hilarious to me.
But that's the thing. I think that if you're going to do a one woman show, that you have to evoke all the emotions.
You
it
do
can't it. Just be funny. It's got to be sad, and you got to make people cry and do all those things.
Well, with mine, that's what I want. I want you to be happy. I want you to feel my pain. Mm-hmm. I want you to feel how I came out of what I was in.
Right.
How when everybody thought I was going to fail and I was never going to be anything and, you know, I was always going to be homeless and I'm out of all my friends, they all act like some of them used to act like they was the shit. They had their man. Those bitches are divorced now. I've been married 21 years and I'm doing a lot better. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I want people to know, no matter what you've been through in life, it's all about you getting up, doing something. One of the greatest line to me come from the rapper Outkast, their first album, when they say, get up and get out and get something. Mm-hmm. Don't let the days of your life pass you by. Mm-hmm. That's what motivated me when I stopped selling drugs. Because I could mope around and my husband like, nobody owes you shit. Because I used to say, oh, I had two kids. I dropped out. I didn't have mm-hmm. a chance. I should kill myself. And my husband's like, don't nobody owe you shit. Go get a fucking job.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
I do miss. I like Outkast.
Yeah, I mean, that's the greatest shit. And, that and that's what I tell people all the time. Don't mope about what you can't do. Get up and do something. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's easy to say, oh, I don't have a chance. I'm a convicted felon. I'm a fucking convicted felon. And being a convicted felon, they never stop me from doing nothing. Some of the motherfuckers who steals is some of the most brightest people in the world. Well, then use what you used to use to take your ass to jail, to keep your ass out of jail, and create something.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a friend who has a friend that we've always said if she would devote her intelligence toward a legal means mm-hmm. of making money that she devotes to taking advantage of every federal program that comes along. You know what I'm trying to say?
I mean, yeah.
She's got it down, man.
Yeah, she knows the system more than the system knows. Yeah.
I got a friend like that, too. This bitch go on. She got this little spreadsheet. She go tell.
A lot of ways, this woman's a genius.
She tell the caseworker how much food stamps she's supposed to get. Yeah. So, but she's the most talented person. Can make curves, can sew, can do this. And I always try to tell her. She's like, I'm poor. I said, bitch, you poor because you want to be poor. Mm-hmm. If you feed yourself that, I mean, your body is like a fucking plant. Whatever you feed it, that's what you're going to grow. So why the fuck are you sitting there saying you poor? I ain't never said I was poor from selling dope to being homeless. I always said, this is what I'm going to have. Mm-hmm. I always had a goal. So, I mean, this bitch is so talented. But she all said, I'm poor. I want to be a homeowner. Well, if you want to be a homeowner, give up your fucking Section 8. I gave up mine. When that lady took my Section 8, I fell in the floor and started screaming and hollering. She was like, I don't give a fuck about you and them 8 kids. Go get a job. You keep lying. You keep working at General Motors every year, not telling me you work.
Now, I guess the Section 8 is some sort of government program.
Section 8 is a government program where they pay your rent for free housing. For the rest of your lazy ass life. Mm-hmm.
I want a Section 8.
I want a Section 8 too.
Everybody does.
Everybody like.
I mean,
Section
but they
8.
Tuck mine, and you know what happened? They tuck my Section 8, and I turned the fucking around, and I bought the Section 8 house, and I still own it to this day.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, you only what you feed yourself. If you say you poor, I say I'm a star. I'm not one right now, but I'm going to fucking be a star. I don't know when it's going to happen. I hope it's happened before I'm 50.
You know, that what popped into my mind when you said that, Jim Carrey was on The Tonight Show and told the story about he wrote himself a check for $6 million, like, you know, 5 years before anybody knew who he was. And...
Really?
And it was his motivation to actually get a check written to him for $6 million at one time.
Yeah, and it's all about believing in who you are. But if you sit there and say you ain't shit, you ain't going to never be shit. If mm-hmm. you're going to accept what society say that you're supposed to be, then that's what you're going to become. I mean, I was a convicted felon. I pulled my background. I went to school to be a medical assistant one time. Could never really get a job because I fucking sold drugs, and they thought I was some type of dope head because it don't say on your criminal background history you was a drug dealer and not a drug user. All of you motherfuckers fall into the same bowl. Mm-hmm. And I could never get a fucking job, so I went to go pull my first interview. I fucking killed the interview. The lady's like, oh, I just love you. I need you to go pull your criminal background history. So I go to Norcross, Georgia, which is like karma here, and I pull my background history. They say, hey, we need you to come sit in the cell to all your paper stop printing.
No
oh my
way.
Gosh.
My background history was like 7 or 8 pages thick. It was like a book. And I remember riding home and say, how did I fuck up my life like this? And this is after I got married, get my life back together. And I'm just crying and crying. I was like, well, where the fuck do I go from here now? And the lady comes, she's like, I want to fucking hire you, but you've been in jail for drugs so many times. And I was like, holy fuck.
Do you know right off the top of the head? Top of your head, how many times you've been in jail?
Many. Probably, I don't know, because I used to shoot my baby daddy. We used to fight. Probably at least 20. Mm-hmm. At least 20.
Like overnight sometimes? Or
I only did real time for a drug charge. I think it was back in 90-something, 92. I did a year.
A year?
No, not 92, 80. My daughter, 86. Probably about 88, 89.
A whole year in jail.
Yeah, a whole year. Oh, that was the worst fucking. I sat behind them balls and said, you know what? Fuck waking me up for soggy grits and fucking powdered eggs. I'm gonna stay out of jail.
Yeah.
That was it. After I did that year, because all the other time, you know, I go to jail, get a pat on the hand. Plus, my first dope charge, it was before the government really knew what to do with crack. You know, because you get a different charge for cocaine than you do for crack. So when I go to, honestly, you do.
Cocaine's more serious, right?
No, crack is more serious.
Crack is more serious now?
Because You don't remember the big article they wrote, cocaine is, you know, they separated the two. Cocaine is for white people, crack is for black people.
Well, and I heard crack is instantly addictive or something.
Yeah. I think Whitney Houston's quote really differentiated.
Crack is whack.
That made people realize it was different. Yeah,
it is different. So when you cook it, you get more time. And so when, I forgot what the fuck I was saying now.
The time you did for crack and the time you did for cocaine or something.
That the government didn't know what to do.
Yeah, they didn't really know what to do with between crack and cocaine. So back then, you got a bun right off the back. Now if you go
you
to
got
jail.
A what? A bun?
A bond. Yeah.
You get a bail bond. Right, gotcha.
Mm-hmm. You get a bail bond. Now if you go to jail, you don't get a bond. You got to sit in jail maybe 2 weeks before you go to court sometimes.
Mm-hmm. For crack or cocaine?
For drugs, anything.
I've got to get out more.
Mm-hmm. When I went to jail, you got a bun right out the back. Mm-hmm. My first bun, I got it in like 2 days. The next day, $20,000 bun. I was 17.
So you have to come up with 10%, right? Is that?
At the time, it was 10%. So I paid $2,500 and paid for the judge to. I paid for his scruples for his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I got out.
So how many people over across the country, the club owners and everything, how many? Because I forget who I was talking to, but there was at one point on the Bob and Tom Show, we had like four or five comedians come in, and they were very funny, but we got off the air and go, oh, so you've been married 3 times, you've got nine kids? He goes, no, that's just my act. I just made all that up. I mean, are there people who think you make all this up?
All the time. People come to me up. The most thing I get asked, did you really get shot? Because you know, girls don't talk about being shot. Usually if a woman had abuse, a motherfucker threw her down a step or punched in the face and got her pregnant, right? Mm-hmm. Where I'm from.
Right.
But when I say I've been shot twice, people are like, did you really get shot in the titty, in the head? Yes.
You got shot in the head? I don't know the head story. Or did you tell me the head story? I can't imagine.
I said
that
many
times.
I got shot. My kid's father shot me in the head. Another dude shot me in the titty.
Was he aiming at your titty or...
This dude was supposed to shoot me, and he should have killed me that night. He really should have. I felt all the bullets going by my head. Why my titty got in the way? Thank God it did.
So what? So your baby daddy shot you in the head?
Yes.
Who shot you in the titty?
Another dude, a drug dealer, shot me in the titty.
Like a competing drug dealer? Like on the wire?
He was an asshole. He came over, and we had a confrontation. He was talking shit. And you know, I'm no back down bitch. I fight you, especially when I was in my
20s. I don't find that surprising at all.
So he was talking crap to me, and he spit on my car, so I spit in his face. And then I put my pistol in his face, and I learned from that day on, if you're going to put a pistol in somebody's face, go and shoot him. Shoot him and deal with the court system, because they'll come back and fucking kill you, because that bastard almost came back and killed me that night. Mm. Just so happened when I reached for the door, it hit the 45 hit me up under my arm and blew my fucking nipple, my areola apart.
You could have avoided it all by not pointing the pistol at him.
Right. That's what she learned her lesson.
Yeah, and I learned, if you're going to pull out a pistol, go ahead on and shoot the motherfucker.
But mm-hmm. My point is, don't do it to begin with. And none of this would have happened.
Yes, Jason, bring logic
into
this.
Like I was
Jason,
in a
please.
Nice neighborhood.
Please, Jason.
You being white.
You being
white. I had to point the pistol. He was fucking with me, Jason.
You didn't have to do it.
Yes, I did. He spit on my car. My car can't defend itself.
Mm-hmm.
You don't turn the other cheek in your neighborhood.
At the time,
right
I wasn't
now.
Doing Bible study either. Right. There was no cheek to turn, Jason.
At the time.
It was some gangster shit.
There was no Bible study.
There was no Bible study, but I remember that now. I turns the other cheeks.
turn the other titty.
Yeah, other titty.
I'll get back to my original point. Do you think you have an anger problem still?
No, why you say that?
Miss Pat, within the last year, have you had an altercation with an audience member at a comedy
club?
Yeah,
I beat some boy ass.
Did you really?
Fuck yeah, I beat his ass. I sure did. I had to damn near kill a comedian to make him stop showing the video.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, but he was messing with me. And you got to remember, like I say, when people, you don't know what people gone through.
Right.
You don't know what people have done in their life to get to that stable point that you see. I'm stable mm-hmm. today. And the whole thing with him is he was being an asshole. So I go up on stage and, you know, he was just being racist. And, you know, it was a white audience. So he's saying racist shit. So I go up behind him.
Now, was he a white comedian?
He was a black comedian.
And he was saying racist stuff.
Racist shit. You know, just all old dumb shit. So I go up behind him and I say, look, white people, please forgive him. This is what I said. I said, y'all, please forgive. I said, white people, please forgive this nigga. This is the one you should have hung. And he didn't like that.
Really?
So he's like, I'll beat your ass. I said, well, many have tried and some have succeeded. Come on up here. So he stepped on the stage, and for some reason, his whole face turned into my baby daddy face. And my mind say, kill that, kill his ass. And I hit him so hard, he flew across the room. But before he could hit the floor, I went over and caught him and slung him on the other side of the room. And then my wig fell off. And then fucking strawberry daiquiri ended up. Now, most part I was mad at is my fucking wig was strawberry mm-hmm. daiquiri in it, because that was my airport wig. Mm. But I beat his ass. But I was so sore the next day. I felt like I had been to a gym mm-hmm. and worked out. You would have thought my ass had been beat.
And you remember when we did the, Jess, we did the podcast at Morty's?
Yes.
Remember Timmy, the guy on the podcast?
The one that we dislike the most?
Yeah, we like them all, but the one that, yeah, Timmy, he comes up after Miss Pat, after all that, and he goes, Miss Pat, everyone, Miss Pat.
And I get a standing ovation.
Did you really?
Standing ovation.
I got
that's
a fucking
awesome.
Standing ovation. So that's life, you know.
That happens.
So would you think you'd do that again?
Fight?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, I'll fight.
Miss Pat!
What I'm going to do, I'm a convicted felon. If I carry a pistol, I'm going to jail forever.
Mm.
So now I'll fight you if you want to fight me.
So am I
Has
doing...
anybody seen this guy since then?
No, but you know he hit me up on Facebook and told me his family's a big fan of mine.
Are you serious?
So what was he saying that... was upsetting
world.
You.
He was like, oh, you crackers ain't shit. Da, da, da. Just calling white people all the racist slurs. And I'm like, this shit ain't even funny. You know what I'm
right.
saying? So I went up and said what I said, and he got mad.
Okay.
And I beat his ass. And then what was so crazy, because his baby mama was there. He had just got out of jail, but I didn't notice. And she was like, get off of him. Get off of him. So I looked up and I was like, bitch, if you don't get your hands off me, I'm going to put you down here with him. And I'm going to beat both of y'all ass. And he was a real small guy like Kevin Hart. And I don't know why he was trying me. All I did was fell on top of him. I put my two titties on his shoulders and I whooped his ass. He couldn't move with them titties locked him down.
I'll bet.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, I fight if it come down to it.
Yeah, I think everybody has a breaking point. I think you'd be surprised.
Don't you?
Will no, you fight? I'm trying to be...
He internalizes.
I'm in the middle
so
of...
So if somebody walk up and slap the shit out of you, you gonna turn the other cheek?
He's never been in a physical altercation.
Yeah, but don't anybody listening to the podcast get an idea into your head that you want to come up with that.
But haven't you said that before? Like, what did you used to say? You used to say, I fucking dare somebody to come in this house.
Oh, no, I've got...
There, see?
I've got a half century of anger built up in my head.
Right.
Absolutely. I mean,
so
that would come
thing.
In handy, sure.
Yes.
But I mean, But I also intellectually understand, you're supposed to turn the other cheek. You're supposed to...
Yeah, but I just think that you'd be surprised. I don't think anybody knows what it would take.
I guess.
I mean, it's just that breaking point, I think, for everybody.
Jason, do you think you'd ever be in a physical altercation?
I mean, it would have to be someone who'd be pretty violent with my family or
right,
something.
Exactly.
Yeah, somebody you cared about, I guess, would have to be.
Yeah. I mean, come on. You walk in the house and see somebody stealing something you hard earned.
You know what? I don't think I would be nearly as upset if someone was doing something to me as if someone, an important person to me or a member of my family or something like that. I think I'd get really upset about that, but I don't think I'd.
I don't think I have an anger management, but I do know how to walk away. I know how to say, you know what? Because I tell people, it's three of me. It's a Patricia Williams Lee, who's married to my husband for 21 years. Miss Pat is the comedian. And Rabbit is the crazy bitch.
Mm-hmm.
It's three of me. And Rabbit is the one who don't give a fuck.
All right.
Where did the name Rabbit come from?
I have no fucking clue.
I have a guess.
You kind of look like you have a little bunny nose, actually,
but
now
rabbit,
that I'm looking at you.
Rabbit is slang for
vagina,
yeah.
So I guess my mom...
Wait a minute. I pride myself on being somewhat aware of the African-American scene.
Scene?
Yeah, you know, I mean, in high school, I was, all of my best friends from high school are, boy, this is, they're yes. black. Yeah. Yes. I mean, that's.
And his stepmother was
black. And my stepmother was a black lady. Wonderful. Yeah. Donna was a great lady. But I've never heard rabbit being slang
for vagina.
Yeah.
Really? How do you know this?
I didn't.
Sleep with black men.
Okay.
She's got a black girl body, but the point is.
You know
everybody
what?
Everybody got a black girl body these days. Shit.
I think, actually, I grew up on a boy school in Plainfield when it was open. My mother was married to a correction officer, and I lived there, and it was literally, there was a wall.
That's where I live at, across from the correction.
Mm-hmm. There was a wall between me and all of the teenage boys that were
you grew
there.
Up in a foster home?
No, not in a foster home. My mother's husband was a correctional officer on campus, and we lived on campus. Shared the building. Yeah, so I learned a lot real quick.
Yeah, but rabbit was slang. I have no idea, and I've been called rabbit from the day I can remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody's got that name.
Rabbit?
No, I mean a name. I think. Yeah. Maybe it's just my family because everybody in my family has nicknames. Nobody
have nicknames? Like, I have a niece, and we named her Boogalot. I don't know what the fuck Boogalot mean. Somebody
even.
Made it up, and it just stuck with the kid. And we still call her Boogalot, and she's 26 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Well, I guess my youngest daughter has a nickname, but...
I have a brother who's really, really dark, and we used to call him Itchy.
All right.
Itchy.
Explain that one. Or do you know the answer to this
No,
one?
I don't know the answer to Itchy.
I think it's just extra black. Itchy means extra black.
Extra black is Itchy.
I think those are the nicknames that they have make sense to the family, but nobody else would understand. That's how ours are.
Because my sister's name is Maypop. My brother's name was Aunt Tony, and I had a brother named Bo.
Mm-hmm.
Jason, any nicknames in your family?
Not really.
No.
And we didn't have ghetto names. You would think, like, I'm from the hood, we would have ghetto names. And I always wanted to be named some fucking Twakiko. My name is Patricia, so
right.
I always wanted a ghetto name. But my mama gave us decent names. Even though she couldn't read, it's Patricia, Gloria, Anthony, George, and Tony. We had decent names.
Anthony and Tony.
Yeah, but I was like, why the fuck she didn't name me a Porsche, Mercedes, convertible? You know.
or Mercedes convertible. Both
yes.
of them. Why not?
Hey, I would have took Mercedes convertible. Every bitch in my class would name Mercedes convertible. Shit they parents couldn't afford. You know, I would even taken Jordan. But, you know, she gave me a decent name. And I'm thankful now.
Yeah.
I am. I'm glad my name is not. I'm fucking 40 some years old, being named Portia. You know, hot pussy, rabbit.
Who would name a girl hot pussy? Come on.
You'd be surprised. They're hyphenated and give it a different sound. I'm telling you.
Hot pussy or something, maybe.
Yeah,
I think
pussy.
That there's. I don't know if this is true or if it's just one of those urban legends, but where they had given the birth certificate to the mother. And they put female in the place, and she read it Famali, and the little girl's name was Famali.
Yeah, probably is. I'm telling you.
I've heard that. Yeah, I've always
thought. I've never heard
I always
that
thought
shit,
it was an urban legend.
They always making up sick shit. I have a niece named Jaquisha. Mm. My niece just named her baby, a beautiful baby, Sinesha. Saisha.
I just watched a Vine video.
And I have
with
to ask her every day, what the fuck is this baby name?
This is your
baby out there.
Niece.
Great niece.
It needs a nickname.
Great niece.
Right? It do needs a nickname. I think she gave it one because her other kid's name is Portia and Yolanda, and she call them YOLO and the other one Popeye. And so I have to ask her, what the fuck are these kids' names? What's their real name? And when you call them by their real name, they say, who the fuck you talking to? That's how they look at me.
Yep.
So, oh my goodness, Miss Pat.
Mm-hmm. It's just a shit. You got to take a trip to the hood and see how people do things. And I tell you, the hood have changed since I left because I've learned a lot from my fucking niece. Just these past 3 weeks she been here, I was like, holy fuck, the hood has really changed. Mm-hmm. The new law in the hood is you don't let your kid's father sign the birth certificate so he don't have to pay child support. So I said to her, I said, so he in jail for carjacking.
No.
I said, so what happened? What happened if he gets shot in the head for carjacking somebody? You can't get Social Security because this motherfucker didn't sign a birth certificate. This is the most ignorant shit I ever heard in my life.
Yeah, why would you not have him sign it? What's the benefit?
The benefit is if you need benefits from the government, You can say, I don't know who baby this is.
Oh, okay.
Oh, we're getting back to working the system.
Working the system. And I tell a joke about this. People, the government don't realize that welfare is like diabetes. If the mama get it, there's a good chance that the daughter gonna get it. Mm-hmm. I'm serious. My mama trained me how to get welfare for my daughter. Mm-hmm. My sister trained her kids when she got them back. It's a system. When my son had his baby, I said, one thing you would not do, bitch. You will not let the system take care of this baby. That's your unpeeled dick you made that baby out of. So you're going to fucking take care of this baby. That's why this shit is, it get worse every year. Because then you have everybody say, oh, we need to add another baby. When I first told my mom I was pregnant at 14, you know what she said? She was like, well, damn. And I was 13 when I got pregnant. She said, well, at least my welfare check will go up by $32. That was back when they was giving you $32 per kid. Fucking $32? But that's the mentality of the hood. Mm-hmm. It's like whoever gets it first, they teach the next person. They mm-hmm. pass it down. That's why the shit is never going to end. The only way to end welfare is to cut the shit off. Just got to flat cut it off.
But you can't
do that because then they're breaking your fucking house.
But welfare wasn't implemented to raise families. It was implemented as an aid for people who needed it for a period of time to get them back on their feet.
And like everything and on the face of the earth, it was abused.
Right.
It's abused. I just read a thing about, you can look on Facebook. It's this lady who called herself the IRS queen. And she was taking people like, say people who work, people who don't really file taxes, mm-hmm. and making fake tax form and getting a refund in their name. And she, this is a black bitch out of the hood, bought a $90,000 acre, plus still getting food stamps with a big ass house.
No.
Duped the government for the last 4 or 5 years for $3.5 million.
Oh my gosh.
Bitch didn't even have a high school education. Now, she had taken that talent and learned how to file people taxes the right way. You're in jail. The government gave her 31 years. You're never going to see your fucking kids again.
Oh, my God. Yep. 31 years.
Fuck yeah. You take 30. One thing I tell people to do, especially black people, stop trying to commit white-collar crimes. You're not going to get away with it. Why you think? Sooner we do white crimes, we get fucked up. Look at the governor of Detroit. That was strictly a white man's crime. White people do that underhanded shit, and you give your buddies the contract. Soon as a brother do it, you get your ass locked up. You ain't smart enough. I was like, the fucking governor of Detroit should have stuck to black folks shit. Like, he should have had him an armed robbery team. When your white colleagues come in to make the laws, rob them. That's the shit black people do. Them the crimes you commit. You don't fucking go embezzle no money.
My head is spinning.
You've learned so much.
How good are you at fractions?
Oh, fraction is my favorite math.
Okay, well, here, you said there was kind of three. There was Patricia. Uh-huh. There's Miss Pat and there's Rabbit.
Uh-huh. Right.
Where do those fit in your life now? Is Rabbit obviously just a little bitty?
Rabbit is a little bitty person. Yeah. I think the wife and the wife is probably 70%.
Okay.
30 for Miss Pat and then the other little part.
Okay, just a little bitty.
Did I do that too much? 60, 30, 10%.
Okay.
Rabbit is the bitch you got to crank up.
Mm-hmm. She's it's not take every a day. Yeah.
Unless it's a confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's a confrontation,
or you're talking to family, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have you taught your kids to fight their own battles when you're talking about? I mean, like, obviously, you took care of yourself.
Yeah, I tell my daughter is okay. I tell you, she don't call home, but my son, he's a fuck. He reminds me so much of his real daddy because my husband, you know, raised him, and he just have that little laziness. I tell him all the time, get the fuck away from me. Grow the fuck up. Put your Xbox up. You know what I'm saying? You know, he actually called me about 6 months ago and decided to tell me he wasn't circumcised, and I had forgot I didn't get him circumcised. And the reason why, because at the time, they had just cut off a baby penis in the 80s, and I was supposed to take him back, but I was selling crack and doing other shit. I forgot. So he called me and decided.
Did you just say I was doing other shit selling crack and I forgot?
Okay. I did forget. Right. So he asked me to, you know, why he's not circumcised. Like, I give a fuck. You're 26 years old. Why should you be telling your mama you're not circumcised? Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, what you want me to do? He was like, well, what am I supposed to do with all this skin you left on me? And I was like, peel it back like you do your fucking socks. What do you want me to do? Take him to the doctor, make him an appointment?
He probably started talking to his buddies, and they're like,
What's the deal?
You're on
no, but his girlfriend was on three-way, and they called to tell me that it stank. I don't give a fuck.
Oh.
I got my own penis to worry about. Not my penis, but you know.
Yeah,
my
the
husband.
One. Yeah.
So,
well, I don't know where we are in this podcast, but
I mean, just that's the only one, my son.
But I don't. Do you think that that's like a that's a baby of the family? That's the younger sibling. That's your only
boy. He's
not
the youngest.
He's not the youngest.
No, he's the second one.
Oh, he's the middle child.
Yes.
Okay. So he kind of got forgotten a little bit, huh? The middle child, right?
No, he's the second. The middle will be my daughter Garyana, because I got four. So when three be the middle.
Wait a minute,
Ms. Pat. Oh, okay.
What's her name, Miss Pat?
Garyana.
Okay.
That's the only one that kind of got a mate.
It's not Sinesha, but Garyana.
I like it.
Now, is Gary the father?
Garrett. Yeah, I have
Garrett,
an Ashley.
Okay.
Well, I have my son. And my son, I have an Ashley, a Nakia, which is a little made up, a Garyana, and a Garrett. But okay. Their daddy had health care. He was a good man. I had to name both of the kids after him.
Oh, okay. Sure.
And I named Nakiel after my first kid's father, brother, who stayed in jail. And I was like, how fucking stupid was I to name my baby after this convicted felon who just stay in jail all his fucking life? But I did. Thank God my son never been to jail. My son too weak to go to jail.
Yeah?
No, he could never make it. He had an interview over at the Plainfield Correctional Facility. Mm-hmm. So they said, he had an interview, and they said, well, what would you do if an inmate get in your face? Because, you know, you could get killed working in this prison. My dumbass son said in the interview to me, I just look at him like he's crazy. I was like, really? Your mama been to jail. Your mama a thug bitch. Mm-hmm. And you mean to tell me you couldn't call me and ask me what to say, son? Because he was texting me during the interview. What do I say here? What do I say here? He decided to answer the question on his own, and they sent his ass out of there. Mm. He didn't get the job.
He's texting you during the interview, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he can answer the questions like he's tough.
So do you think you could go back to any part of your old life if you couldn't? Obviously, you're not going to have to worry about this because you're very successful in comedy, and you've got engagements every weekend. But, I mean, if the worst happened and you had to go
back to be a thug,
for lack of a better
term. You know what? I tell you this, from the streets, being a drug dealer taught me a lot. One thing it teach me, I can never get kidnapped because I'm always watching over my shoulder. Even now,
you're at the Walmart. You were looking around over your shoulder.
I'm always familiar with my surroundings. If something go down, I'm the first motherfucker out of there.
You got attacked by a can of peas or a can of peaches. And
yeah, I got attacked by a can of peas. It was in my hand.
All right, okay.
But I learned a lot from the streets. I mean, I really did. I tell you, the same mentality that I had at a drug dealer to make as much money as I did. I had my first $100,000 when I was 16 years old. So I still use that mentality toward my comedy career. I got a manager. I have an agent, but I don't sit around and wait on them to do shit for me. I go out and get leads and be like, hey, let's work on this. Let's do this. The one woman show actually came from me because I feel like, you know, I'm a very funny woman with a good story, but nobody really knows who the fuck I am. So I have to create a way to get myself out there so people can pay attention. So that's one of the reasons why I started working on a one woman show. So it, with being a drug dealer, gave me that get up and get out and get something attitude. I'm always working. I'm always thinking of new things to do. I'm always trying to improve my career. I'm always writing.
Yeah. So, I guess being a drug dealer is like any other business. I mean, you have to.
It's like.
I mean, we joke around behind the scenes. I mean, it's like. It's a horrible thing to say, but I mean, people who are crazy, like serial killers, but they're up early. They're stalking. They're getting gas in the van. They've got all their tools ready to go. I mean, it's the same thing with drug dealers, right?
I mean, you
got to tell people you've got a great product, and you've got to have them rely on you to provide that product, and you make $100,000, right?
And just, I mean, think about it. You don't want to be a kidnapper and snatch an ugly motherfucker who you really don't want to touch.
That's right. You want to kidnap good-looking people.
Mm-hmm. Always.
You know, and then you got to make sure that they're easy and they're not going to fight back. That's why you never could grab
me. If they are going to fight back, you're ready. You've been working out. You've been training.
You know how to stab them in the neck. You know why black women don't get kidnapped?
Oh,
no.
Because they can grab you by your hair. They grab my hair. My hair going this way and I'm going that way.
Okay.
So, you know, my hair is never connected.
Oh,
do you think
gosh.
You'll do your one-woman show here in Indianapolis at some point?
I do. I want to premiere it here. I really do. I'm working with a really good director that worked on a lot of big comedy shows and done a lot of stuff, you know, like he shot Catapotalus. He shot Joe Coy. He's getting ready to shoot Hannibal Buress next one.
Oh, wow.
So I'm working with him. And
good.
Yeah, I would love to premiere here in Indy for one reason, because Indy have supported the hell out of me since I've been here.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
I mean, and they've all, if I do, like I was at Morty's last year, fucking every show sold out.
Yeah.
So they're always there for me. So I would love to premiere it. And if we want to get it shot for like a major network for HBO Showtime, mm-hmm. If it when it happened, I'm not going to say if, because you don't say if.
That's right.
Right.
When it happened, I would like to shoot it in Indy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
So.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, thank y'all for having me. I hope these stores didn't scare the fuck out of him. Whole time his mouth was hung open.
I think I'm the one that got the most scared, actually, Miss Pat. I don't know.
I'm so sorry.
Pointing at Jason when you said, I hope. What's your website?
Comedian. My website is Miss Pat Comedy. MSPATComedy.com.
And your Twitter handle is
Comedian Miss Pat. ComediaMissPat.
Was Oprah's baby taken?
Was Oprah baby? Yeah. I know. I can't wait to meet Oprah. I'm like, I know you, my fucking mom. I'm telling you, I'm the one you left at the hospital. These people have ran me fucking crazy.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Thank you, Miss Pat.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jess.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jason. Thanks for downloading the podcast.
I'm heading straight to the suburbs. Okay.
Okay. We'll talk to you later.
Good night, everybody. To be so big and to be so fat, because we up in the mud house over in